Welcome back, dear friends, wherever you are. And we may even have some people listening in Ukraine, believe it or not. I'm certain that we have Russian listeners, so who knows? Mitchell Henderson is back most every single Monday and with an update on the Russia-US-EU war over Ukraine and what's going on there. Rumors about a failed counteroffensive. Was it a counteroffensive or wasn't it a counteroffensive? We do know that the Ukes are now in earnest with artillery and, I guess, Grad rockets and drones. They're actually firing on southern Russia. One large Russian town is only 6 miles or kilometers from the border of Ukraine. And so they're lining up their weapon systems there and unloading on this Russian city of 40,000 people, which is now evacuated. So the war is expanding. And it just, it gets you to thinking. Maybe this is not even good, logical, mature geopolitical thinking. But wouldn't it be within Russia's right to just give, and I know you're not supposed to give warnings, give the Ukrainians 36 hours to empty Odessa, Kiev, and Kharkov, and after 36 hours, just level the cities. We're done with this. We're not playing any more tit-for-tat little games. We're done. It's over. Finished. Anyway, Mitch, welcome back. Let's hear what you have on your table. This will be interesting.
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about Russia, a little bit about China, and then I want to go over some big picture things, okay? So first, the Ukrainians cannot launch a real counteroffensive, and it would be foolish to think the Russians will give them time to get all of the armaments and logistics to launch an effective counteroffensive. Yeah. Russia would like them to launch one because they have set up kill boxes along all fronts to destroy the Ukrainian army. So what you're seeing today is you're seeing that Ukrainians are being pushed to have an offensive, and the offensive, you know, they are throwing a bunch at it because all their military is really on the Eastern Front. Okay, that's where everything is, and so they're pushing there, but you know, it's just if it's the great glorious counteroffensive, it just is not. Okay. So this past week, the Ukraine has stepped up its attacks on Russian soil. Most are drones, and Russians know that we give active assistance to these attacks. This is an indicator of failure. The only way Ukraine can have a victory on the battlefield is by entering Russia and killing civilians. These are desperate measures and indicate weakness and a lack of resources, okay? Another indication that the Ukrainian offensive is going to be a nothing burger is that the vast majority of Ukrainian combat brigades are still on the front in Donbass. Zelensky, besides being an inhumane monster, has no military background at all, holding ground and fighting a defensive war. The defense is a temporary measure. You must go on the offensive as quickly as possible. 1 year is not as quickly as possible. Okay. The one that wins the war will always be the side that takes the initiative. Even in a fist fight between two people, the one who aggressively attacks will be the winner. Russia can initiate this at its leisure because Ukraine can't. And keep in mind that they can just let them, they can just sit where they are and just destroy the Ukrainian army. The Ukrainian army is just throwing themselves at the Russians, okay? So why doesn't Russia hurry? Well, it does not have to. There is much going on now that is to the Russian advantage, like all of the political and economic changes happening in the world, especially the joy they get from people in the West learning the truth about their lackluster leaders. They are winning without having to do anything. If the Russians just finished the war this summer, it would actually benefit the West. It would also let the West gang up on China. So, you know, China and Russia are considering each other's issues and trying to be helpful to each other. There is talk of a Ukrainian offensive going on now. General Milley says it is the great counteroffensive. Since he is running the Ukrainian army, I guess we should accept it. But what I see on the ground is probing attacks.
Yeah.
Just probing attacks. Unsuccessful ones at that. In just one attack, the Ukrainians lost 1,600 killed in action. 1,600.
Three times that, but you never know. You just don't know.
Well, this isn't just one battle. This is just one single battle. There's other Ukrainians dying along the front, but in this one battle, that's a pretty high casualty rate for one battle.
It's ridiculous. Look, I still think there's another angle of this that no one will talk about in the media. Wonder why. And that's the removal of Goyim Christian men from potentially rising up and challenging the Zionist Jewish government of Ukraine. They've killed about 400,000 dead. And how many wounded? I don't know. But they have removed the Goyim potential challenge.
Yeah,
to
this
Zelensky's
is genocide
Zionist
on the Ukrainians.
Regime. You got it.
Yeah. So they still talk of an attack to cut Crimea off from Donbass. I noted that the Russians have an apparently weak defense in this sector. So let me explain. On the battlefield, you use defensive positions, obstacles, minefields, and terrain to create avenues of approach that funnels the enemy into attacking only on a certain axis. And this is a kill box, a trap, okay? So if they tried to go south directly to Melitopol, that is exactly what they're going to walk into, okay? So, I mean, the Russians have left this area open for them to attack in, okay? So so it's a kill box, it's a trap, okay? When Ukraine fails, I want you to know that it is a failure due to the incompetence and lack of leadership in the United States military, because we are the leadership of the Ukrainian army. We have American military officers on the ground in Ukraine providing leadership, plans, and training. The Ukrainian failure will be an American military defeat. Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran know this. Okay. So let me talk briefly on China, because things are heating up over there. Chairman Xi has ordered the People's Liberation Army to get ready for war. After Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin addressed the Shangri-La Security Summit in Singapore, Jiang Jianfeng, the Chinese Deputy Chief of the Central Military Commission, replied. The U.S. Secretary of Defense Austin elaborated the U.S. side's views in his speech, overtly or covertly making his false allegations against China. We do not accept this and are firmly opposed to it. The Taiwan issue concerns China's core interests, and there is no room for us to concede or compromise. The Chinese People's Liberation Army is fully prepared and ready to fight at any time to firmly safeguard national sovereignty, unification, and territorial integrity. Lloyd Austin had asked to talk to the Chinese defense minister on the sidelines of this meeting, but he refused to meet Austin because he's actually sanctioned by the United States. See, we sanction people, and then we want to talk to them? Well, you know, a little foresight and vision would be helpful, you know? So America thinks it can be disrespectful to other nations' leaders, but you will notice how often we get snubbed, okay? The time of American preeminence is over. We're no longer the most important people to talk to on the face of this earth, okay? In Austin's speech, which was delusional nonsense, he said America was going to team up with Asian nations to contain China and make Asia free. Asian nations... This is ASEAN, so it's the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, okay, are not on our side. They want us out of their lives. They are de-dollarizing faster than the Middle East. ASEAN nations are getting rid of Visa and MasterCard, and consumers will pay with UnionPay, the Chinese credit card, because China will not sanction them. We have such a vapid and inane foreign policy, not based on vision or foresight, that we alienate other nations with our magical thinking, bullying, and ordering other nations about as if we have some moral authority. Moral authority is something America has zero of, or a negative balance. The world is not fooled. They know how evil we are. The world sees us as a gay sissy nation, and they are losing any respect, any and all respect for us. For example, in the 2000s, Vietnam had such a positive attitude towards the United States that Pew poll found that they were the nation that the Vietnamese people approved of the most. We are. 83% approval rating at that time. They tried to have good relations with us, but we sanctioned them because they would not obey us and let us tell them how to live. The very best potential ally in Asia, and we squandered it with our wokeness. Reality check, but the one who oppresses ASEAN nations is the United States. With us gone, there will be peace. Senior Colonel Zhang Qi of the Chinese People's Liberation Army specifically stated that there would be peace and prosperity in Asia, the Middle East, and Europe if only America would quit bullying nations and quit starting trouble within and between nations of the world. We are actually seen as the biggest problem in the world. Listen, our media will never tell us this, but I'm telling you the way the rest of the world looks at us, okay, which our media will never tell you. They never have told us. Who will miss us when we are nuked off the face of the earth? We are not specifically mentioned as a player in the end times. Maybe we will already be gone by then, okay? So let me get at some of the reasons why we are failing, okay? And this is kind of the context in which all this has happened. To have a better understanding of what's going on in the world, you have to look at it within context. So let's look at the context through the contagion that we are infected with. Let's start by defining some terms that are deceptively and inaccurately used. First, anti-Semitism, used in the context of being anti-Jewish and anti-Israel. In fact, the term Semite includes both Jews and Arabs. There are 16 million Jews and a half a billion Arabs. That means that 97% of Semites are Arabs and only 3% of Semites are Jews. Arabs are known for hating both Jews and Israel, so it is absurd to label them anti-Semitic because they, in fact, are the Semites. That this is a Zionist effort to belittle Arabs and make them less than human. This leads us to anti-Zionism. The official U.S. narrative on anti-Zionism is that it is, in fact, anti-Semitism. This is patently a damned lie. There is no doubt that the Arabs, which make up 97% of Semites, are very hardcore anti-Zionists. How can Semites be anti-Semitic? Let us go further in saying that there are 16 million Jews, and they are not all Zionists, but there are 45 million Christian Zionists. There are more Christian Zionists than there are Jewish Zionists. We may say accurately that most Zionists are not Jewish, nor are most Zionists Israeli. Christian Zionists outnumber them by 3 times. Yet to be protected as Zionist, you must actually be Jewish. So the next question is, are there any anti-Zionist Jews? Yes, there are. Jews that have a personal relationship with God, and they have that because they're ordered to love God, and they have to have a relationship in order to do that, tend to be anti-Zionist. They say it is their duty to love God, and they cannot do that without a relationship with God. The primary reason that they are anti-Zionist is because Zionism can be defined as Judaism without God. This is a definition crafted by Jews. You see, Zionism is humanistic, progressive, atheist, and Marxist. Religious Jews cannot support humanism or progressivism because they elevate man over God. But this is not just religious Jews. There are secular and nominal Jews that detest Marxism and love freedom. This said, the Zionists have claimed everything. They are the only Semites and the only Jews. This is simply not true. This leads us to the phrase Judeo-Christian. The West itself is defined as a Judeo-Christian construct. This is not correct. The term Judeo-Christian is an oxymoron. Judaism and Christianity are not fundamentally the same. In Judaism, you must obey the Ten Commandments to get to heaven. In Christianity, you must develop a personal relationship with Christ, and he justifies you, and through your relationship with Christ, you are just simply inclined to obey the Ten Commandments. Obedience to Christ is through the power of Christ and not from your own efforts. The Christian belief that the only way to heaven is through Christ alone is diametrically opposed to the Jewish concept of getting there through your own works. You stop sinning because Christ says, first seek ye the kingdom of heaven, and all of these things will be added to you. To use the term Judeo-Christian is to allow Zionism to co-opt Christianity, just like they co-opted the terms Semitic and Judaism. The French Enlightenment philosopher Voltaire observed that if you can determine who rules you by noticing who you are not allowed to criticize. Biden just had an anti-Semitic summit where millions of our dollars are to be used to censor and punish anti-Semitic speech or action. Governor DeSantis went to Israel to sign an anti-Semitism bill for Florida, making anti-Semitic or anti-Israeli speech a criminal offense. DeSantis wants to be seen as an enemy of the woke, but he does major pro-Israel virtue signaling himself. Earth just DeSantis. America does not mean Israel first. It means America first and Americans first. This is not Israel, and we are not Israelis. You can criticize America.
Hold on.
Yes.
Hold your thought. How? Yeah. How can Americans even take that guy seriously? The way he groveled and went over there to sign that American bill for his state. I don't get it.
Oh yes.
He should be laughed off the planet. This is high treason without being realized.
Oh, I'm going to get into that. So you can criticize America, but not Israel? What is wrong with this picture? Anti-Zionist Jews detest this because they feel that Zionists are passing these laws to actually create hatred of Jews. Let me emphasize this. It is the Zionists that provoke hatred for Jews. Who told me this? Jews did. Okay? Judeo-Christian does, however, describe the reality of America and the international system. Zionism has so taken over our culture and our politics and finally our government. Personally, I saw this in my journey through life and my spiritual well-being. I was raised a Lutheran, but attended Catholic Mass for 11 years, went to Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, non-denominational churches, Pentecostal churches, even Christian Scientists, Jehovah's Witness, Kingdom Halls, and even Scientology. Let's say I just had an open mind. I look back in anger as I see all of the Zionist control over my religion. I see Zionist control over my religion, over my government, over my country, over everything. I was not being taught about Christ. I was indoctrinated by these dead churches into Zionist humanist, progressive, and Marxist ideas. They were all false prophets leading me astray. The truth is that all the trouble in the world is created by Zionism. Zionism is the religion of Satan. It is the faith of the Antichrist. You see, since Christianity, Islam, and the white race have to be destroyed in order to have for the Jewish Messiah to come, the anti-Semitism laws are, in fact, the ideology that signals the acceleration of the persecution and slated extermination of these people. The anti-Semitism campaign is inherently anti-Christian. It opens the fifth seal of the apocalypse, which is the final persecution of Christians. So let me cover some of these ideas, like humanism. In secular society, Zionism manifests itself in humanism. We have all been brainwashed all of our lives into this philosophy. Humanism is the narrative system of thought attaching prime importance to the human rather than the divine or supernatural matters. This had a great effect on our religious thoughts. This began the Age of Enlightenment. The Zionist beginnings were with Moses Maimonides and the 12th century Jewish Zionist philosopher who wrote The Guide for the Perplexed, which is so bold as to list what God can and cannot do. In other words, what arrogance, you know. God, by definition, can do anything. We answer to him, and he does not answer to us. Then the Jewish Zionist Baruch Spinoza, then to Jean-Jacques Rousseau and his book The Social Contract, the American founding philosopher Thomas Paine, who wrote The Rights of Man and The Age of Reason. Yes, conservative heroes are also humanists and therefore Zionists. Thomas Paine was an atheist. The systematic humanist philosophy of Immanuel Kant, who constructed the thought of the modern world, Auguste Comte and his Religion of Humanity, Moses Hess, the father of communism and modern Zionism, Ludwig Feuerbach, Friedrich Nietzsche, and Karl Marx. This is also developed during the Italian Renaissance and had great influence on Christian thought. It began with Francesco Petrarca, or Petrarch, Giovanni Boccaccio, and Dante Alighieri. Almost all that we talk about in regards to our thinking about heaven and hell comes from Dante's book, The Divine Comedy. The Divine Comedy is divided into the paradise, the purgatory, and the hell. It is where the popular concept of purgatory comes from. Modern humanist philosophers have intimately shaped the narrative of our lives that we are unthinkingly bought into by philosophers like A.J. Ayer, Charles Darwin, John Dewey, who created the American compulsory education system, Eric Fromm, and Bertrand Russell. Though through popular culture by Oscar Wilde, George Eliot, Isaac Asimov, Carl Sagan, and even Gene Roddenberry of Star Trek fame, and Emile Zola, we did not have a prayer. You see that this wokeism that we had not progressed far enough in our culture for it to be full-blown like now. The precursors were the bohemians of the 20th century, followed by the beatniks, the hippies, the new agers, and now the woke. You see, there was a progression. Okay, now I mentioned names because I don't know what everybody's familiar with, but if you heard those names, if you're familiar with them, then you know where all this comes from. So let me go into progressivism. Progressivism holds that it is possible to improve human societies through political action. They seek to advance the human condition through social reform based on purported advancements in science, like the I believe in science meme, technology, Yuval Noah Harari's Homo Deus, which pushes transhumanism and changing the human body with human engineering to what the World Economic Forum wants us to do, economic development, the Green New Deal, and the next industrial revolution, and social organization, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Folks, America was founded on this. Our founding philosophers were the progressive philosophers John Locke and John Stuart Mill. It is seen in the modern economics of John Maynard Keynes and the Keynesian economics that enslaves us right now. It was highlighted in the administration of Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson, who bought us the income tax and the Federal Reserve Bank. Progressivism is the foundations for the special group rights of minorities, as opposed to just simply equal rights for everyone. Social justice, which uses guilt-tripping as a method for change. Just remember that it's the devil and Satan that accuses and slanders us. It is not something that Christ does. Cancel culture and political correctness. Progressivism is the source of all of these. So wokeism is humanism, progressivism, Marxism, and Satanism. Is that not what our world looks like right now?
Well,
we do live in a police state that is satanic, and it will only get worse. So, finally, I want to describe how the woke think through magical thinking. Magical thinking is the belief that one's ideas, thoughts, actions, words, or the use of symbols can influence the course of events in the material world. Magical thinking presumes that a causal link between one's inner personal experience and the external world. It is called visualization by the woke, and it works by the law of attraction. In other words, you visualize it, and it happens. This is very old. It started in India. In the Dhammapada, the Buddha's book, states in the very first sentence, quote, your life is a creation of your mind. Okay. This is where this magical thinking comes from. Buddhism is a humanist religion. It is an atheist religion. It was brought to the West by authors like Hermann Hesse and philosophers like Arthur Schopenhauer and Friedrich Nietzsche. It is actively preached from the pulpit by the likes of Joel Osteen, who preaches it. Magical thinking ignores realities and practicalities. This is exactly why DEI is an actual policy of our government, even though it clearly violates the 15th Amendment. Consider the Second Amendment, which has been interpreted by the Supreme Court to mean contemporary military arms, yet constantly you hear the phrase, we need to ban assault weapons, because it is being repeated until it comes true. It is magical thinking. It will come true, and soon. we the people have no representatives in Congress or in Congress, and the Supreme Court is doing nothing to protect the rights of American citizens. Supreme Court intentionally overturned Roe versus Wade in order to keep conservative Republicans from winning in 2022. There is no one in government, business, or the church who wants to defend your freedom and liberty because they all profit greatly from you losing your freedom and liberty. So let's look at some popular concepts that we are brainwashed into, okay? So this phrase, our strength is in our diversity. First, Scripture calls bullshit on this. It sounds nice, but it is untrue. The Tower of Babel was a multicultural and diverse place, but God thought it evil. God creates black, white, and yellow people. He loves them just as they are. He does not approve of destroying his work under the woke rubric of browning of humanity. You see, if everyone looks the same, then there will be no racism. That is what they visualize, a perfect non-racist world where everybody's the same. This also leads to the acceptance of transhumanism. While we are at the task of making one race, we will also change the genetics of humans through COVID shots and making humans into genetically modified organisms and to cyborgs. The Neuralink itself is a step towards cyborgs, you know. So God wants the races he made, sure. Not some man-made race. Mm-hmm. It is rebellion against God and a direct repudiation of him. God does not give us a love hierarchy. He does give us a love hierarchy. You naturally love your family, your clan, your tribe, your ethnic nation, your race, and then humanity at large. This would be your friends, which the state has no business in picking for you. Races and cultures developed for survival. Your race and culture give you an edge for survival in your environment. The browning of humanity makes everyone less adapted to survival. It does not enhance it. God knows what he is doing. Mankind is just totally lost in the darkness. Okay, so next statement that they say all the time, all religions lead to the same place. All paths are to God. Christ said that he was the only way to God. This means Christ, and he is our only intercessor with God, and the Holy Spirit is the only interpreter for God. Necessarily, all religions have many similar themes, but that in no way makes them the same. When I was younger, I was enthralled with mysticism because it was the path of union with God. It used similar themes in all religions. As a matter of fact, you read mysticism of all religions, it says the same thing. Basically, the mysticism of all religions is identical and very wrong. I first learned the mysticism of all religions, and I thought they were all valid. Later in life, I got a hold of a copy of Aleister Crowley's Theory and Practice of Magic, which is clearly and admittedly satanic. What was it? It was exactly like religious mysticism, only based on Satanism and to fill selfish desires. It uses magical thinking and visualization. The woke follow this without knowing the source. None of the religions are the same. Christianity is not like Judaism, nor like Islam. To call them Abrahamic religions is just an arbitrary convention. It seeks to make you think that they are all the same or at least similar to each other. They are not, and they do not accept each other's views. It is wrong in the same way that My grandfather had little to do with who I am. He would be kind to me because I am kin, but we definitely inhabit different worlds. So the next theme that they shove down their throats is that LGBT people are normal. Not true. The word normal is quantitative and not qualitative. Normal means what most people are. So if 90% of people are straight, then straight is the norm. To say that LGBT people are normal is an outright lie and government-supported bullshit. We also have Christian churches. Many of the mainline denominations that accept and celebrate LGBT lifestyles. Read chapter 1 of Romans. It describes all sexual sin, and it disapproves. The fact is that there are no LGBT people in heaven. I can clearly, and with good conscience and moral certitude, I can say that. God calls them an abomination, and he means what he says. If you have openly LGBT people in your church, you are in a church without God. Nowhere does God call on us to be tolerant or accepting of the LGBT. In fact, he tells us to flee from them and not look back. This is the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. Child molestation is being normalized in our society, and Christ has made clear that we'd be better to tie a millstone around your neck and jump in the sea rather than face him as a pedophile. Yet we have a pedophile for president that could be elected again in 2024. We are an evil and reprobate nation that allows our children to be groomed into LGBT lifestyles and to murder over 65 million babies. We as a nation are sacrificing our children to Moloch, and God hates that with a passion. Christ is unhappy about this. He warned us, and how many of us have voted for pro-abortion candidates? Yes, we stand by and let it happen, so we are guilty of this. Can LGBT people be saved? Only if they turn away from their perversion and stop thinking about homosexuality, stop lusting, stop having perverted sex. Contrary to the government, the medical establishment, and yes, even lukewarm churches, LGBT people can be obedient to Christ, and Christ can give them the power to stop. But the government does not. The government strongly discourages this. Okay. So I could go on and on with all of the stupid and sick bullshit that we believe. In conclusion, the world we live in is according to the Zionist narrative. The world to come will be according to the Christian narrative, but the one we're in is a Zionist narrative. Many will say that the West is the Christian narrative. No, it is not. We live in a Zionist world, and Satan is in control of this world, not Christ. This is Satan's time. We should wake up and start acting like it. So, you know, people have to sit back and realize that we are far more brainwashed than we think we are. You know, far more brainwashed than we think we are.
Look, right now, Mitch, it's game, yes, set, and match to the Zionists.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They've done it. There's not going to be an uprising. It's not going to happen. Sorry, I wish I could say otherwise. I'm not going to lie to anybody. It's not there. The people have been spayed and neutered, mentally, intellectually, you name it. It's done. They've won. They've taken over. They've overthrown this country. We have no representative government. It's just done. Sad. They've done it quickly. They set it up and they pulled it off. Yeah, go ahead.
So let's just look at Nikki Haley. She's running for president.
No, you look at her. You got the story, right? Yeah.
So she says that we have to have World War III with Russia, that we cannot allow Russia to win in Ukraine. Okay, so let me just say this about that, as Dixon would say. What she's doing, you can tell how brainwashed she is. She's totally and completely brainwashed by the Zionists.
Yes.
Because support for Ukraine is critical to Zionism. The only person who stood up and said that we cannot allow Russia to win under any circumstances is Nathaniel Rothschild. Okay. So this is Ukraine is a Zionist. What you see in Ukraine happening right now today is what the Zionists have in charge in mind for America later. Okay. They want us to go through this hell. Who goes through this hell? Everybody that falls under the Zionist rule does. It's look at what happened in 1917 in Russia. Well, Big Jagger says that Satan took over, but I'll say that it was Zionists that took over. The Bolsheviks are Zionists. They murdered 60 million Russian Christians. Okay? 60 million Russian Christians, and they have never been held accountable for that. Then the next thing that happened in 1920s in Germany, the Weimar Republic, let me digress for a minute. The Bolsheviks were Jewish. They were almost all Jewish leadership. Okay, very few Russians mixed in with them. In the Weimar Republic, you had a German government ran by Jewish people, and they allowed all sexual sin, and just society just went into the pot with them. Okay, everything you see going on in America now, that happened in Germany in the 1920s. Okay. So now what do we have? Look at the United States right now. The chief of staff of the White House is Jewish. So are all the employees. All the staff of the White House is Jewish. Secretary of State is Jewish. The undersecretaries are Jewish. The Secretary of Homeland Security is Jewish. And look, we have no Homeland Security. Okay. The Secretary of the Treasury is Jewish. And look, we don't have an economy anymore. Okay. We're suffering under them. Okay. Actually, the head of the ATF is Jewish. He's a man who has never had a gun, never been trained in a gun, doesn't know anything about guns, but he's the head of the ATF. His qualification is he's Jewish, okay? So we have a Jewish government right now, people. You know, if you think that the head of government, right. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, are the leaders of the government, well, that's impossible. They can't lead anything. Did you see Biden at the Air Force Academy? Man, yes. He was just lost everywhere. Yeah. He's just gone. He's not even there.
Well, that was before and after the fall, I guess, huh?
Well, yeah, it's like he walked past the general he was supposed to stop at. He walked past the podium.
Whatever they were doing to make him semi-functional, I think is faded. I don't think they can do it anymore. He's just gone.
No, I don't think so.
There's one or two body doubles, and they're going to use them more and more. They got the full latex head mask. Here's your quick list. All Jewish. All dual citizens, all the time. Secretary of the Treasury, the Attorney General of the United States, Secretary of Homeland Security, Director of National Intelligence, White House Chief of Staff, Secretary of State, Deputy Secretary of State, Secretary of State for Political Affairs, Office of Science and Technology Policy, and the Director of the CIA. Just a few dual citizen Jews at the top of government. You're right.
And this is a DEI government. That means that what you have is 50% of our government is Jewish, and they only make up 1.9% of our population. How is that equity?
Well, it's gross, grotesque overrepresentation. It's not even overrepresentation. It's an overthrow. Come on. That's what it is. It's like what happened in Ukraine. It's the same thing. The whole Ukrainian government is the same. It's all Jewish.
Yes, it is. It definitely is. So, Victoria Nuland, the one who's the shaper of modern Ukraine, she is Jewish. So, it just goes on and on. It's like, so Nikki Haley, when I heard her make this comment, I thought, okay, she's a total idiot. As a matter of fact, I would say that she's just a step above Biden and Harris, okay, in intelligence. Just a step. Not very far, though. Well, I mean, you have to be totally unaware of everything to make statements like that. I mean, and she wants to be president of the United States and she wants to get us all killed. Yeah, let's vote for her. If all those who want to commit suicide, raise your hand. There's your gal right there.
Now she said she should go back to working at Denny's. I don't, not that she ever did, but she should have. Denny's Waitress of the Year, or whatever. Look, she's a lunatic. She's insisting on World War III if Ukraine loses to Russia, okay? And by the way, it lost to Russia long ago. That's not the point. She's such an idiot. It's unbelievable.
Let's compare and contrast
her to the camel. All right? I've got another video up where the camel's saying the same thing over and over again about 50 times. She's an idiot. Mm-hmm. These people are mentally... They're mentally deranged. They're damaged. They're not suitable for anything, and yet she's got this. I've got a video and it's up. Let me play just a little bit of this. She got this phrase. I don't know where she got it, but there's a whole clip of them over and over being repeated in different speeches, addresses, whatever she's doing. She says this same damned expression. What can be unburdened by what has been? That's what she says. Now, some of these show her when she's clearly inebriated, intoxicated, or otherwise drugged. But take a listen to this crap. It's not only is it a stupid statement, but it means next to nothing.
What can be and be unburdened by what has been? And imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been. You know?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
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 What we can see, what we believe can be unburdened by what has been.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
What can be unburdened by what has been?
Who we can be unburdened by who we have been.
What can be unburdened by what has been?
All right, I'm going to throw up.
Where we can be.
It goes
by
on and on. It's about
what can be.
A minute and a half.
Well, I mean, I was just talking about magical thinking.
Yeah.
There it is, folks. That's magical thinking there. Just absurd statements. It always sounds kind of cool, so we're going to go with it and believe that it's true.
Her
but it's not true.
Put that in every time. Remember, she was reading a script.
Yeah.
So.
And think about this, too. What she's saying is what we can be unburdened by what we've been. And let me rephrase that. Tear down the old and build up the new. That's Marxism. It's
exactly
Marxism.
Right.
That's where that idea comes from. It's a Marxist idea. I mean, it takes some effort, but if you listen to all these catchphrases and all these things that they say, you can see if you look that these are Marxist phrases. This is Marxist philosophy, Marxist politics, Marxist everything. You know, Marxism is comprehensive in everything. Okay, so. You know, it's supposed to reach every part of your life and stuff. You know what, let me express this in a different way. Maybe this can shorten it. But you see, the Jewish philosophy, Jewish religion says you have to, by your own efforts, make a connection with God, obey God. Okay, so follow this logic that, well, if I can gain salvation through my own efforts, I can become God. I can rule the world. I can make the world the way I want it to be.
That's right.
And that's why Zionism is the source. It's the source of humanism, progressivism, Marxism, communism. It's the source of everything.
Basically.
All the isms. Right. So.
Wow. And unfortunately, the masses of the Goyim will never figure it out. They just won't. Because the media will not tell them. And unless the media tells
them, it
doesn't exist.
You know, Jeff, they talk about, this book, Homo Deus, by the prophet of the World Economic Forum, Hariri. When he's saying that if you read the book, which I did, it's if you want to read a book and understand how far we've come towards the apocalypse, read his book and what he suggests for humanity. It goes beyond just man being God. They want man to remake man, put mechanical parts in there, put chips in there, put
Borgs.
Nanoparticles. In there.
Yeah.
They want to change you. They want to make you docile. You see, the vision is this. Everybody has to be the same. Okay, no individuality. It's got to be a collective, and in that collective, each person has to be exactly the same. They want you to look the same. They want you to think the same. They want you to believe the same, because they want the hive mind to be the soul of humanity, okay? And this is Satan at the top of this, okay? It's all in service to Satan.
I'm sorry to say this, but I don't envision anything coming along, at least in the near term, to stop this either. I think they're going to get away with it.
Well, no, nothing's going to stop it. It's sort of preordained that it's all going to happen. It's all only going to get worse. But I want to just discuss for a second the foibles of this, because see, the technology is the end all and do all of the woke. Okay, you got to believe science, not God, but science. Okay, so check this out. So they're really pushing this AI stuff. So the United States developed AI drones, drones that have AI. So they decided, okay, well, we're going to send the drone up. We'll task it to destroy certain targets and stuff, okay? But what we have to do is we have to have the final say on weapons-free or not, and the final say on where it goes or not. So they sent the drone up with AI, and what was the first revelation that came to the AI? We have, the AI decided, oh, in order for me to complete my mission, I have to kill the person who's controlling me.
And why did it have to complete the mission? Because it got reward points.
Right.
Reward points for completing the mission. Now, this was a test. It did, the controller wasn't actually killed, but in the test, the AI killed the controller. That's the critical part of this. To earn
and we've
its
heard
points
this story
to do
before.
What it was programmed to do. Yes.
Terminator, Skynet. We've heard about this, you know.
Those movies ought to be looked at again. They told us what was coming.
Yeah, they warned us. You know, that's what science fiction has typically been about. It's been about warning us. I mean, look at Michael Crichton. When you look at Jurassic Park, what was he trying to tell us? Don't screw with Mother Nature.
Yes,
don't mess with the genetics. You know, it has evil, bad consequences. And we could go on and on. I mean, Michael Crichton even came up with a story called The Andromeda Strain about a super virus that wipes out the people of the Earth and stuff, you know. So,
well, what was his big one that ended up killing everybody? I can't remember the name of it. It ended up in Las Vegas. Anyway, that was his book, I'm sure. Or was that Stephen King?
Yeah.
I get confused.
Well, Michael Crichton's about telling the problems with technology. Stephen King's got nothing to do with that. He's just a scary movie writer, you know. He's a very woke person, too. So I can't envision him having a genuine thought, you know, outside of his horror stories, you know. I wouldn't take his advice on anything else, you know.
Yeah. I agree. I gotta remember this name of this book. It was It was a very good book. It was quite a thriller, and they ended up in Las Vegas was the last big city left, I think. Anyway,
we will remember that as soon as the show's over, right?
Oh yeah, as soon as
that's the way it goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I wish you could put that up in written form. That was a great piece you just gave. Getting email on it, actually. So you just told it like it is. And speaking truth is rare today. To hear it so succinctly stated is quite refreshing and overwhelming at the same time. But you nailed it. Good job.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter if there's a revolution or not. Doesn't matter if we get free or not. But you know what? Everybody needs to know the truth. Okay. We have to know the truth.
The Stand. Remember the Stand.
Yeah.
It was
the Stand. Okay. There we go.
Yeah. Crichton's book was The Andromeda Strain, and King came
and
along with
it was the Stand with King. Okay. I got you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
so.
Anyhow, if you can put this in written form. I'll be very honored to post it. It's a lot of work. But someone did transcribe one of your appearances on the program into writing. I sent it to you several weeks ago.
Probably sure. I'll post this to you probably Wednesday.
Good.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you for that, Mitch.
I'll just attach it to an email. And,
what do you think? Everyone would like to know, what is your timetable on this? How much time do we have before the crap really hits the fan, big.
Well, here's the thing: is
how much more will
plans.
The Russians tolerate? That's the other question.
Well, I think they're coming to the end of their toleration. See, with Ukraine attacking inside Russia, the next move may be Russia declaring war on Ukraine because, you know, there's no declaration of war yet. So
no.
That could be the next thing that comes down, which means that they can just sweep over the country then, because it's a war. They don't have to respect a lot of things they respect now.
So legally, they'd have everything set. You got it. I see. Very good. Very good. That would be the open door. They've got to stop this, though. They've got to come down on it very, very hard. They can't keep playing games. They've got to stop. Not that they're playing games, but they've got to stop it.
What Russia is doing is it's trying to just going for attrition of the Ukrainian army, so that when the Russian army moves out and goes on the offensive, they won't have very many casualties. The Russians care about their people. Ukrainians don't give a shit about human beings.
It's not the Ukrainians that don't care. It's their controllers. It's the Zionists that don't care about the Ukrainians. So 10 million Ukrainians have fled. They'll never go back. Oh, and by the way, go ahead.
No, the population of Ukraine is half of what it was in 2014 when they had the Maidan thing.
All the easier to make it into the new Israel, right? Or try to, what's left of it. And there are Ukrainian wounded soldiers, I'm told, at a hospital in Vail, Colorado. Got that story?
I would believe it.
Yeah.
You know.
It's wild. All right, my friend.
I mean, look, the Russians already know that it's the Americans they're fighting. They know that already.
The man on the street knows it over there. They all know it.
Yeah.
There's no secret.
Sure.
They're so much better informed than Americans or Western Europeans, who probably have a better clue than most Americans because they're right there. But the Russian public, they know what's going on. They're smart.
I saw a video in like 2008 where people were going around in Russia. They were asking Russians, what is it that Americans need to learn? What don't they know? And every Russian replied, history. Americans don't know history. See, they know history, but we don't.
Yeah. We don't even teach it anymore. And what there is of it is so perverted and corrupted. It's
not real.
No. Well, thank you again for your contribution.
You're welcome.
Be safe out there, all right? It's
okay, thank you.
Okay, good night, Mitch. Mitchell Henderson, and hopefully we'll have a transcription of that maybe by Wednesday. You have the program. It'll be up in a couple hours, 3-4 hours maybe. You'll be able to listen to it again and learn from it, share it. Great stuff. Very happy with the guests we have here. They really care, good people, just like you. So you all be well, and we'll be back with you tomorrow night. Thanks for being here.